All right, here's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN hockey insider. What's happening, Pierre?
Greetings from Denver, Colorado.
Yes, I
the
love
hell
it.
Is that?
Denver, Colorado. Wow. That's the radio guy in you. Yeah, that's old school, man.
It's awesome in Colorado, except for when you land there and it's 45 minutes to cab or bus to go downtown there. Like, they built the airport so far out of town, it's annoying.
Yes, that is correct, Noodles. But I've made a point in these playoffs. I've been on the road a lot, not to go on social media and whine about all of my mishaps traveling wise, because I keep saying to myself, it is in fact worse than ever to travel, as you guys know from all the stories that we've been hearing the last couple of months. I've in fact had my flight to the Stanley Cup final completely canceled. I had to go back to Pearson the next day to fly to Denver a couple of weeks ago. But I've not complained about it, and I don't blame people that do. I'm just saying for myself, I know a lot of people that would still love to do what we do for a living. So I'm trying to take the high road, even though traveling right now in this point in time has never been more difficult. I will tell you that.
Yep, that's the nature of the beast. And did John Cooper get on the plane and actually... Are they going to try to win Game 5, or last night was that the end of the road because there might have been too many men on the ice?
That was a pretty good segue. Yeah. You know what you're doing, guys. You know what you're doing. That was very interesting last night. You could really sense the emotion in his voice. He really did sound like someone who was absolutely crushed in that moment. I think perhaps realizing that having to win three straight against this Colorado team would be a tall order, but also feeling like, you know, they got screwed, right? With the six men on the ice. And listen, it became a huge story, obviously, in the last 24 hours. We looked at the tape and we all wrote about it, talked about it for SC. I've heard from a lot of other team executives from around the league over the last 12 hours. And clearly six guys on the ice, but it also happens so often in a hockey game that...
That's right. It's like, Pierre, you know, what the hell would have happened if somebody said too many men on the ice and Tampa scored? Everyone would break it down saying, why on earth would he call that? That happens all the time. So it's like, I don't know. I think there was more shock for Cooper, where it was like, I can't believe we didn't win that hockey game. Because clutch time, they win every single time, and last night they did not do it.
Well, and I tell you, you know, they come out and outshoot Colorado 17-4 in the opening period. And I remember turning to Rashog and saying, oh boy, this thing is going seven. I may still, by the way. But
it's not.
Colorado found a way to dig out of that, and that was pretty impressive last night, because that felt like the Lightning wanting to tie the series. And Vasilevsky's been terrific the last couple of games, but the Avs found a way. And to put a final point on the whole controversy of the six men on the ice, it's not like Nazem Kadri got a clear breakaway out of that line change. He had to beat two guys. Like, you still had a chance to defend him on that play, but he made an all-world play with a hand that is not healed, and shoveled it upstairs. So hell of a goal there for Nazem Kadri.
Yeah, and I hope that's not forgotten. Like, when the dust settles, it's not the equivalent of Bobby Bond. Like, that was an OT winner.
Yeah, but hey, is it going to be the Kadri game? I don't think so.
It'll probably be the too many men on the ice game.
Thank you very much.
It should be the catcher game. And if you're the NHL, I don't know how you can't drive conversation. You can't dictate what people are reporting and talking about. I understand it. I get it. We're all talking about it. We're all guilty of it. I understand it. But if I'm the NHL, I have it plastered all over the website, all over my media, saying you gotta hammer what Kadri just accomplished. Like, this is an incredible story.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Like, if this is the regular season, he's not coming back to play for a long time. Like, this guy is putting it all in line here. We were watching really closely, both the morning skate and in warm-up, to see how he's shooting a puck. It's Muffin City. I mean, he can barely get the puck off the ice, because you could tell he can't put that much pressure with that hand on the stick. And to do what he did, first of all, play in the game and be effective, But then to make that power move and then to find a way to shovel it upstairs, I mean, that's an unbelievable moment in that guy's career. You know, and he's going to be UFA here in a couple of weeks, and he's had a remarkable season. But, you know, we're obviously neutral in our jobs, and you know, I don't cheer for one team over the other, but I don't mind admitting to you guys, I was pretty happy for Kaji last night. That was a pretty amazing moment.
So, Pierre, the call happens on the ice. As far as the referees go, I think everybody kind of agrees that Wes McCauley is regarded amongst his peers and everybody else in the game as the best referee in the game. Kelly Sutherland, I believe he was the other ref. So if word's coming from the NHL circles that they missed the call, does that mean that we won't see them next game, or how does that work for those two refs, one being regarded as the best in the game?
Yeah, it's a good question. I sure hope not. I mean, they have a rotation of guys that they pick for the final, right? And those guys are all traveling. But the league did, you know, the league's hockey ops says, you know, travel with the Stanley Cup final. And there was a conversation. I spoke to a league officials from hockey ops after the game last night to get some clarification. And they did talk to the four on-ice officials after the game and you know, obviously realized that it was a missed call. But that's going to happen. And, you know, one of my fears out of this, if you really want to broaden the scope of what this could all mean, is that whenever something like this happens, there tends to be a bit of an knee-jerk reaction to come up with a rule change. And if you remember, you know, when San Jose scored in overtime in a playoff game a number of years ago off a hand pass against St. Louis, that did lead to an actual rule change. And now you can review that, right, and nullify a goal. I hope this doesn't lead to a rule change. I mean, like a GM said to me from another team today, I mean, you can't review everything. At some point, you have to trust the four people officiating the game and understand that there's still human error and that it's not going to be 100%. But we can't get to the point where every single play needs video review, because then you have, I mean, then you're just sort of, you know, I mean, I feel like in the NFL right now, you guys know how much I love football. Every time the touchdown scored, I'm kind of holding my breath for a second because I'm not 100% sure if it's going to count. And I don't want that to happen with this league. I mean, maybe you guys disagree, but, you know, I hope this doesn't lead to a rule change.
Now, Pierre, last night, a lot of it was made of McKinnon not getting onto the score sheet as far as scoring. And then he's able to find one, and it hits a skate and goes in. What have you seen from McKinnon up close and personal? I mean, obviously, we've discussed how excitable he is, how hard. It's almost like he's trying too hard and playing at a rate where maybe he's moving too fast and overthinking things out there. Do you think maybe that goal will help him to settle in? And I'm kind of thinking if they're going to get it done, it's McKinnon and McCarr that just take over and say, we're not going to a game six.
Yeah, and, you know, they've had unbelievable starts, but as a team in this building here in Denver, I mean, 3-1 in game one after one, 3-0 after game two. They've gone for the jugular early in games here in their own rink. So we'll see if they can do that with a cup in the building tomorrow. But, you know, I know that McKinnon only has the one goal and it went off his skate yesterday, and there's been a bit of criticism. I got to tell you, just being in the rink for every game, I feel like he's gotten tons of looks and he's generating a lot. And he is absolutely putting the Tampa defense on their heels with the way that he's coming at them. I would not suggest for a moment. I don't think he's struggling in the final, other than, you know, given that he had the amount of goals he had before the Cup Finals, you would have thought that would have continued here. But he's dangerous on every shift. Now, let's also credit Anthony Cirelli's line. Anthony Cirelli's line in each round has done this to the best offensive players that they've played against, and they've been matched up with McKinnon, and they've had their moments in this series as well. But I think McKinnon's been terrific. But, you know, I get to vote on the Conn Smythe guys, and there's 18 of us that vote on it. And if Colorado wins the Cup tomorrow night, and again, they may not, but if they do, I don't even think there's going to be a debate. I mean, Cale Makar is going to win the Conn Smythe. That should be a complete no-brainer the way he's been consistent in each round and has continued that in this final.
Oh, I fully concur with that, and I would advocate for it. I think on Tampa's side of things, especially considering where they are, I think the only hope they have now is Vasilevsky just getting crazy again. Like, that's how I see it.
Right.
Like, I don't think it's a very in-depth plan. It's, sorry, man, we need you to be – out of your mind three more times. Can you do it? I'm not banking on it, but I wouldn't put it past him.
I mean, he has the ability. And he was pretty darn good last night. I mean, yeah. Some of the saves that he makes, and Noodles can attest to this way more than the rest of us. But, I have a even more appreciation watching him in person, Noodles, that hit some of his pad saves and his post-to-post lateral movement. It just takes your breath away. I mean, you can't beat that guy that low. And interestingly, Colorado's gone out of its way to shoot high on him with the try and score, including where Kadri went. But he's an unbelievable goaltender, and he gave them a chance again last night. It's not going to be on 88 if Tampa ends up losing this.
No, I mean, the two goals in regulation that beat him were deflections and kind of weird plays. He was that dialed in. I thought Tampa was fantastic during the first 60 minutes. I thought Colorado was like, hey, we're going to overtime here, and they took over. Like, Vasilevsky made that left pad save before the goal. That should have been a goal right there. That was a wide-open net. I don't know how he was able to get his left pad across, but he was fantastic. And you know, the right team is up 3-1, but I was saying to the guys, with how close you've had two overtime games, if Tampa gets one of those, we're at 2-2 here, and we're looking at a best of three. So I'm not counting Tampa out. I think Colorado will win, but it'd be interesting to see if Tampa has a response tomorrow, as you laid out how good Colorado is on home ice and how quickly they like to start.
Yeah. I mean, last night was the closest game, I think, in this series. I know game one went to overtime, but that was pretty tilted in Colorado's favor with Vasilevsky was out of his mind. But last night was a real, really back and forth game. I probably think the Lightning were a bit better, as you said, Jamie, but that was a really close game. The only thing I'll say, and I'll probably radio myself here, so that's fun, but the Lightning look a little tired to me. And I think, you know, if they were on with us right now, any of them, they would hate us talking about this, but
they do.
It's been three years, and I'm seeing at times that they're trying so hard to give it whatever's left in their reserves, but it's been a ton of hockey, man, and they got a lot of guys playing hurt. Has there been even a game in this series where they haven't had guys go to the dressing room and come back? They're trying to get through, but you know, I think they're gasping for air despite how well they played last night. I find it really hard to believe they can win three straight here against this Colorado team, especially two would have to be in Denver.
Yeah, it doesn't seem likely, but this team has succeeded unlike any other team we've seen in a long time. So if anyone was going to get off the mat, it would be them. But with all the injury issues, all the games they've played, and the mountain they got to climb against a very good team, does not seem overly likely at this point. We'll find out more tomorrow night. Enjoy it out there, Pierre. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me. All the best.
You got it. There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider.